Coming from a Hindu background, I have wondered, what does it look like to be an authentic believer and a follower of Jesus Christ? When my wife and I, when we moved to the U.S. in 2009, we started attending Calvary Church, and we were immediately introduced to the mission of Calvary Church: to be and to make authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are new to Calvary and you have been asking the same question. What does it look like to be an authentic follower of Jesus? Others, you've been in church for long and you may have noticed that there is a profound difference between those who claim themselves to be Christians culturally and those who are authentic followers of Jesus. Maybe you don't know the difference between them both. Today, we are going to look at that. So let me ask you this. What is your picture of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? Is that the one who wears Christian clothing and jewelry? Is that the one who listens to Christian music only? The one who occasionally attends church only when it is convenient? The one who drives a car with a fish magnet, you know, those little sticky things that you put at the back of your car? A one who hangs crosses in their cars, and if you were to visit their home, you'll have these beautiful pictures of words like believe and hope and faith and joy, etc. Or is that the one who posts Bible verses on social media daily and also on YouVersion Bible app? Now, all these are good. None of them are bad. All these are good. But is that the picture of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? Today, we are going to look at a very profound passage in the book of Colossians, in which Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse into the profile of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. We are going to look at the example of the apostle himself, who safely could be called an epitome of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your ancient word that is still relevant for us today. The inerrant, infallible, living word that you have given to us so very graciously. So please, Father, speak to us. Help us to listen well. Challenge us, convict us, transform us, change us so that we can be authentic followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. The church at Colossae was probably founded and pastored by Epaphras as a result of Apostle Paul's two-year ministry in Ephesus. The Colossian church was planted in a culture very much like ours. Religious pluralism and paganism was so rampant, was prevalent in that culture. Now, these false belief systems and teachings were making inroads into the church through eloquent and persuasive false teachers. Consequently, this church was in danger of being deceived by these wrong philosophies, these faulty arguments, these false teachers, and these enticing pagan ritualistic practices that makes people feel good about themselves. So Paul writes this profound epistle to warn believers and to encourage them to continue to keep their eyes on Christ. And in chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, Apostle Paul helps us to see the profile of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. So let's read Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Amazing passage. Now from verse 24, we quickly read about Paul's commitment to the body of Christ, to the church. And from verse 24, we get our first point, an authentic follower of Jesus sacrificially serves the body of Christ. An authentic follower of Jesus sacrificially serves the body of Christ. Now, there is no doubt that Paul was committed to the church. Paul's commitment to the church was characterized by his joy in suffering on behalf of the church. Now, see, Paul was in a Roman prison. And why was he in prison? He was in prison because for his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I find it fascinating that instead of Paul complaining about his suffering, and I'm sure he had so many things to complain about. I mean, he's in prison. He is not in a 21st century US prison. He is in a first century pagan prison. Of course, he had so many things to complain about. But instead of complaining about his sufferings, look at what he says. I rejoice in my sufferings. Paul was willing to endure hardships for the sake of the church. And again, look at what he says after that. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Now, that does not mean Christ's sacrifice is insufficient for salvation. That is not what he's referring to. Only Christ can save us. Only he can make peace through his cross. Turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 20. For through him, that is Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself, that's God, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. None of the false gods of the other religions can save us. Why? Because only Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of humanity. Only his cross can forgive our sins. So Paul is not saying that Christ's sacrifice is insufficient. But what he is saying is this. He is willing to suffer as much as it is needed for the church, for the sake of the church. Not only he rejoices in his current suffering, he was also willing to continue as much as it takes to suffer more for the sake of the body of Christ, the church. Now see, suffering is inevitable when we serve one another. What does 1 John 3:16 teach us? By this we know love. What is it? That he came down and he laid his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives for others, for the brothers, serving sacrificially. Does that hurt? Yes, it does. But is that the prevalent attitude toward the body of Christ today? And I'm talking about evangelical circles. Is that the prevalent attitude? Is that your attitude toward church? Don't we live in a culture, again, I am referring to evangelicalism. We live in a culture where church has become a matter of convenience and not matter of commitment. Now, what do I mean when I say matter of convenience? It is the thought that I will go to church or I will serve the brothers or I'll serve in the church when it fits my schedule, when I feel like doing it. Many have a very low view of church. More and more people see church as a mere club where one goes to get some sort of spiritual fun, some sort of spiritual entertainment, to feel good about themselves, that too when it is convenient. When the church becomes mere club, when church becomes a place where programs are provided. Now, programs are good, but if that is the only reason why we come to church, if that is the only idea of church that we have, there is no need for suffering and sacrifice, is there? But see, Paul was committed to the church. He was willing to sacrificially serve the body of Christ. How about you? Are you committed to the church of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to serve the body of Christ sacrificially? Now, I praise and thank God for the many, many, many volunteers who are, some of them who are here today, and some of them may not be here today, but I praise and thank God for all of them who have in the past, through these years, served the body of Christ beautifully and sacrificially, especially through the pandemic. Praise God for that. How about the others? I pray that we all would have a renewed desire to serve the body of Christ. To those of you who consider themselves authentic followers of Jesus Christ, would you commit to make church a priority of your life and serve the body of Christ sacrificially? If you are a member of Calvary Church, would you recommit not only to attending service on a Sunday morning, but also being part of the other part of Calvary Church, the other life of Calvary Church, also being part of a small group to serve sacrificially and grow? One practical way to do it is through our children's ministry. I praise and thank God for Sutral, Suraj, and the others and their team. Hundreds and hundreds of children come through these doors. You have an opportunity to pour into these kids, to help these kids understand who Jesus Christ is. Teach them the gospel, nurture them, help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need volunteers. What is your excuse? Would you serve the body of Christ sacrificially? An authentic follower of Jesus serves the body of Christ sacrificially. So what does it look like to be an authentic follower? First, they serve the body of Christ sacrificially. Now, second, an authentic follower of Jesus desires to know and proclaim Christ. An authentic follower of Jesus desires to know and proclaim Christ. Now, in verse 24 in Colossians 1, we see Paul's commitment to the church. In verses 25 to 27, we see his commitment to the Word of God and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was appointed by God as an apostle to the Gentiles. Look at verse 25. Of which I became a minister, that means of the church, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. For what? To make the word of God fully known. The responsibility that was given to Apostle Paul was to make the mystery of Christ known. Here in the context, word of God is referring to the mystery of Christ. But what is the mystery of Christ? First, let us look at what a mystery is. Biblical mystery is something that was hidden in the past, but now has been revealed. Look at verse 26. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Something that was hidden in the past, but now has been revealed. So what is the mystery of Christ? Look at verse 27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. To understand that a little bit better, Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we are going to read verses 4 to 6. Now, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are sometimes called as sister books. If you have a question in the book of Colossians, read the book of Ephesians. And if you have a question in the book of Ephesians, read the book of Colossians. So we are going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. When you read this, that is the book of Ephesians, you can perceive my insight into, look at the phrase again, the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Something that was hidden in the past, but now has been revealed. So what is this mystery? Look at verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That is, in Jesus Christ, the racial divide that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles, the enmity that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles, now has been reconciled, so much so that the Jews and the Gentiles have become equal members of the church. There is no division. Paul would later say in Colossians chapter 3, there is no division, there is no free or slave, no Gentiles, no Jew, everyone equal in Christ. Well, how is that even possible? Well, with man, racial reconciliation is impossible. No amount of social or political reform can bring about the reconciliation. It is only possible through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is only possible through the gospel. But who is this Jesus? Let's look at what Paul says about Jesus, and we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at several verses, and please follow along. We are going to start from Colossians 1, verse 15 onward. Who is this Jesus? Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven or on our earth, visible or invisible. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in everything he might be preeminent. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. He doesn't stop there. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Verse 10, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Skip down to verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. At the center of the gospel is this Messiah. At the center of all universe is this Jesus. And what is the gospel? That this Jesus, through whom all things were created, who existed in the exact form of God, the exact imprint of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the beloved Son of God, would come down to this filthy earth and he would die for the sins of wretched, depraved, sinful people like you and me, reconciling us both to God and to one another. And he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, so victorious, that God the Father would declare him Lord and Christ. And by believing in this Jesus, in him, we have eternal life. No wonder in verse 28, Paul says, him we proclaim. There's no one worthy to be proclaimed except for Jesus. No other gods are worthy to be proclaimed except for Jesus Christ. No other God is at the center of creation. No other God, nobody else created the universe. Nobody else can give us salvation except for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, him we proclaim. We don't proclaim ourselves. Why? Because there is nothing in me, there is nothing in you that is worthy to be proclaimed except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is an authentic follower of Jesus? It is the one who believed in this Lord Jesus for salvation and have bowed their knees to this King, having received this gift of eternal life, and have allowed this Messiah, this King, this Lord to be their Lord and give complete control of their lives over to him. At the center of the gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. At the center of Christian faith, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. At the center of all creation is the preeminent King of Kings, King Jesus. No wonder Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, I decided to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We proclaim him. Paul's stewardship was to make known to the church the mystery of Christ. That is, who this Jesus Christ is and what his cross has accomplished for us. Now see, this revelation comes to us in the form of the written word. Look with me to verse 27. To them, God chose to make known. To them. Who is them? Verse 26, the latter portion of verse 26. But now revealed to his saints. It is to us it has been revealed through Apostle Paul. Now, God's plan was to make known to us the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel through the Apostle Paul. Now, why did God reveal the Lord Jesus to us? First, it is for our salvation. That is true. Why did God reveal Christ to us through his word? So that you and I, we can individually and collectively know this Jesus Christ from the word and proclaim him to the world. Why did he give us? Why did he make known Christ to us through his word? So that we can know Jesus Christ, who he really is, from the word, so that we can proclaim it to the world. But let me ask you this. How would you know who Christ is? How would you know, how would you proclaim Christ accurately unless you know who he is? How would you know who Christ is accurately unless you study the word of God, the Bible? See, this is why Paul was committed to make known the word of God. Acts 20, 27, he says, I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. That is how we know who this Jesus Christ is. It is through the word that we know who Christ is, and by knowing who he is, we accurately proclaim him. Isn't it true that more and more people have turned their faces away from the Bible? Isn't it true that more and more preachers, more and more churches have closed the Bibles and put it up in their shelf? Isn't it true that more and more people have not looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes out of the pages of Scripture? By turning away from the Word of God, they have misconstrued a Jesus who looks more like a genie in a bottle than the Lord of all creation. And they have fabricated a gospel that is no gospel at all, that is designed to make people feel good about themselves than to drive them down to their knees to bow before the King of Kings. But see, Paul was committed to the Word of God and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Authentic followers of Jesus have an ever-increasing appetite for the Word of God. And through the study of the Word, they have this deep-seated desire to know who Christ is and to proclaim Him. How about you? Are you committed to the Word of God? Do you have a desire to know God's Word? Dr. Monroe gave us the challenge last year to study the Word of God. And this year, he gave us the challenge to obey the Word of God. Do we take it seriously? Or is it like nice, cute themes on my refrigerator? Do we take it seriously? Authentic followers of Jesus will be committed to studying His Word daily, and through that, they will have the desire to know Christ and to proclaim Christ. So first, we saw that authentic followers of Jesus, an authentic follower of Jesus sacrificially serves the body of Christ. Then we saw an authentic follower of Jesus desires to know and proclaim Christ. Now we turn to the last point of the day, and some of you are like, phew. An authentic follower of Jesus seeks to mature in Christ. An authentic follower of Jesus serves the body of Christ sacrificially, desires to know and proclaim Christ, now seeks to mature in Christ. In verse 24, we read about Paul's commitment to the church. In verses 25 to 27, we read of Paul's commitment to the Word of God and to proclaim Christ. In verse 28 and 29, we see Paul's commitment to spiritual maturity. Look at verse 28 and 29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? Why is he doing that? So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The goal of Paul's preaching is not self-glory. The goal of Paul's preaching is not to make a following. It is not to merely entertain people or to motivate people or to inspire people. Of course, he encouraged believers. That is true. But that is not the end goal of his preaching. The end goal of his preaching is spiritual maturity of all authentic followers of Jesus. Look at verse 29 also. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. See how Paul labored. He was willing to get down to the grassroot level and to get his hands dirty. He was willing to labor, to struggle to help believers grow into maturity in Christ. Is that our attitude toward Christian life too? That we want to grow into maturity in Christ. Now see, Paul not only does this, but he also commands the church to do it. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Maybe this is one of the verses that you have memorized as you were in Awana or nursery. Now this is Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, a very familiar verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. Now look what he said next. One another. In chapter 1, he says, he does the admonishing, he does the warning, and he does the teaching. But here, he is commanding the church to do what they have seen as an example in Paul. Admonish and teach one another. It is a commandment given to the church. Paul was committed to help believers grow in maturity in Christ. Is that your commitment also? Are you committed to spiritual maturity? Do you diligently seek to mature in Christ? Sadly, spiritual maturity is something that we lack in evangelicalism today. You need proof for that? Look at social media. Spiritual maturity is something that we lack. The society, evangelicalism in general, we call good what is evil, and we call evil what is good. But the goal of all authentic followers of Jesus is spiritual maturity. And authentic followers of Jesus will seek to mature in Christ. But you may ask, so what is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is the process by which authentic followers of Jesus become more and more like Christ. Now, it is a lifelong process. If there was a spiritual mirror, and you look into the mirror 5 years ago, and then you look 10 years after, would you see a difference? If you don't, then you're not growing spiritually. But see, only authentic followers of Jesus can spiritually grow. Why? Because it is in Christ we grow. Those who are not in Christ cannot spiritually grow. Would that be the reason why we see spiritual immaturity prevalent in evangelicalism? It is a lifelong process. So you might ask, so how do we grow spiritually? How can authentic followers of Jesus spiritually mature in Christ? I'm glad that you asked, because Paul is going to give us the answer for that in verse 28 and 29. Look at verse 28 again. Him we proclaim. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. How do we grow into maturity in Christ? It is through the proclamation of Christ. Now, this is not rocket science. It is as simple as it gets. The Lord Jesus is proclaimed, the lesser Christ is proclaimed, the lesser you know who Christ is. The lesser you know who Christ is, the lesser you're going to become like him. Simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from one glory into another. If the glory of the Lord is not proclaimed, what are we looking at? Probably self. Probably the glory that comes from the world. If that is the case, who do you think will become like? The world. The more Christ is proclaimed, the more the Word of God is studied in your personal time, in your small group time, in the churches where you attend, here we have our theme verse is for the Word of God and the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is our passion. That is our commitment. The less you study in your personal time, the less you will see the glory of the Lord Jesus. The less you will see the glory of the Lord Jesus, the less you will be transformed into becoming like him. Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christian life and spiritual growth. He is the cornerstone, and we learn who Christ Jesus is through the revealed Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. But how do we proclaim Christ? Paul is going to give us two participles there. Him we proclaim, how do we do it? Warning and teaching. It is through the admonishing or the warning that admonishing believers to stop unholy living or improper conduct. Through that and also teaching them to walk in obedience to the Lord's commandment. How do we proclaim? It is by admonishing believers to stop unholy living or improper conduct and teaching them to walk in obedience to the Lord's commandment. Now, although admonishing and teaching can be done, and it is done in a large group setting like this, it is much more effectively done in small groups. You know why? Because here, we don't interact. I don't know you spiritually as I look at you. I don't know. You don't know me spiritually. When I look from here, all of you look like angels. Some of you don't. No, just kidding. But when we start interacting with one another, oh, that is when the devils come out. But that is where we need admonishing and teaching. That is much more effectively done in small groups. Isn't that why at Calvary we emphasize adult life groups? Small groups. Can I say that those who are serious about spiritual maturity in Christ will seriously consider being part of a small group? You don't like one? Find another one. We have plenty. And we have plenty of space too. But let me ask you this. Who likes being admonished? Can I see a show of hands? No, just kidding. I don't. I don't like being admonished. But I need it. You need it. No one likes being admonished. But what do you do when you are admonished? How would you respond? Will your response be, "You have no idea who I am. How dare you speak to me that way?" Or will your response be, "You know what? I'm going to attend some other church where they are not going to correct me, and I'm not going to come here anymore." Will your response be to justify yourself? Or would your response be to humble yourself and be willing to be admonished and taught so that you can grow into maturity? Now, some Indians, not all, some of them, I am included in that, sometimes we function in a very special time zone. It is called the Indian Standard Time. And some of the Indians who are here, they're laughing at that too. And some of them are like, "How dare you say that?" But I am included in that. It just means that we are sometimes 30 minutes to an hour late for things. Now, I was functioning in that time zone for a long time. And, you know, sometimes I'm late. Sometimes most of the times I'm not late. But sometimes, you know, things happen. So I am late. So I was functioning in this time zone once. And this particular day, I was a solid 30 minutes late to a pastoral training that was taught by none other than Dr. Monroe. So I walk into this training, and he looks into my face. In his grace and kindness, he didn't call me out. He didn't embarrass me in front of others. But he did bring that up when I met with him, you know, individually, personally. And he admonished me. Deep inside my heart, my pride was trying to respond by saying, "Oh, whoa, whoa, wait. You don't know what was going through, you know, in my life on that day. I had this to complete. I had to do this. I had to send that email. I had to call this." So I was naturally late. But thank God, he told me, "Shh." I said, "Sorry." But see, I didn't like it, but I needed that. I needed that. What was he trying to do? He was trying to help me become effective ambassadors of Christ, effective steward of what God has given to me. Time is included in that. He was trying to help me become better at what God has given to me. But I don't like being admonished, but I need it. You need it. Sometimes sins can be in our blind spots. You will never see that unless someone else comes to you and tells you, "You have that sin in your blind spot." How would you respond? Would you humble, be willing to be admonished, be willing to be taught so that you and I can grow into spiritual maturity? Now, see, growing into maturity is not going to be that easy. Serving the body of Christ sacrificially, that's not going to be easy. There will be times when we will suffer as we serve sacrificially. Proclaiming Christ in a world that has gone away from God is not going to be easy. With so many false teachers out there and so many opinions out there, it can be very difficult to stand strong on the Word of God. But our commitment is to being in the Word daily and to proclaim Christ. Growing into maturity sometimes comes through the hardest of times. What do we do? It is going to be difficult. Now, Charles Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, he talks about Christian life this way. The Christian life is very much like climbing a hill of ice. You cannot slide up. Now, I'm no expert in ice climbing, but I think that is pretty accurate. I don't think you can slide up. You have to cut every step with an ice axe. Only with incessant labor in cutting and chipping can you make any progress. It is going to be difficult. Look at what Paul says in verse 29. For this I toil and struggling, but God will help us. Look at what he says. Struggling with what? With his own energy? With his own power? No. He says, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. God has given to us in his grace his Holy Spirit to all authentic followers of Jesus, who helps them to grow into spiritual maturity. The goal of all authentic followers of Jesus is spiritual maturity. So how do we spiritually mature? Through the proclamation of Christ, through the admonishing and through the teaching, and by the help of the Holy Spirit. Is that your goal? What have we seen so far? We looked at the example of Apostle Paul and have sketched a profile of an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. What does it look like to be an authentic follower of Jesus? Now, much more could be said about the topic, that is true. But we have limited ourselves to three main characteristics that comes predominantly from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. An authentic follower of Jesus sacrificially serves the body of Christ. An authentic follower of Jesus desires to know and proclaim Christ. An authentic follower of Jesus seeks to mature in Christ. Now, did you see the whole passage crescendos to the maturity of a believer? This is the will of God for authentic followers of Jesus. This is the purpose of all authentic followers of Christ. That is also the prayer that Paul prays for the church at Colossae. And we read that in Colossians 1, 9, and 10. As you serve sacrificially, as you be in the Word daily and know and desires to know and proclaim Christ, as you are being discipled, being admonished, taught, and as you understand Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I, all authentic followers of Jesus, will grow into maturity of Christ. And if there is anyone here who do not know this Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it would be my privilege to explain the gospel to you again. Please don't leave this room without knowing who this Jesus is, and help you understand how you can have this relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me pray the same prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossian church. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you would help us be filled with the knowledge of your will, that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus. That we will please you in every respect, and we will bear fruit in every good work, and we will increase in the knowledge of God. Help us to mature in Christ. Help us to serve the body of Christ sacrificially. Help us to desire and proclaim Christ. Help us to seek maturity in Christ. For we ask all this in the mighty, powerful, majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.